Chapter 63. Knights. What's the matter now, Eddie? What are you crying at?
Why, she's been wanting to go for a lady's maid, said Mr. Poyser. Tell her we can do better for her nor that.
I thought she'd got some maggot in her head. She's gone about why her mouth buttoned up so all day. It's all why going so among them servants at the chase, as we were fools for letting her. She thinks it 'ud be a finer life than being why them as are akin to her, and ha brought her up since she wore no bigger nor Marty. She thinks there's nothing belongs to being a lady's maid, but wearing finer clothes nor she was born to, I'll be bound. It's what rag she can get to stick on her as she's thinking on from morning till night, as I often ask her if she wouldn't like to be the mocking eye the field, for then she'd be made o' rags inside and out. I'll never give my consent to her going for a lady's maid, while she's got good friends to take care on her till she's married to somebody better nor one o' them valets, as is neither a common man nor a gentleman, and must live on the fat o' the land, and's like enough to stick his hands under his coattails, and expect his wife to work for him.
Aye, said Mr. Poyser, we must have a better husband for her nor that, and there's better at hand. Come, my wench, give over crying, and get to bed. I'll do better for you nor letting you go for a lady's maid. Let's hear no more on't. When Eddie was gone upstairs he said, I canna make it out as she should want to go away, for I thought she'd got a mind to Adam Bede. She's looked like it o' late. Eh, there's no knowing what she's got a liking to, for things take no more hold on her than if she was a dried pea. I believe that gel, Molly as is aggravating enough, for the matter o' that, but I believe she'd care more about leaving us and the children, for all she's been here, but a year come Michaelmas, nor Eddie would. But she's got this notion o' being a lady's maid why going among them servants we might ha' known what it 'ud lead to when we let her go to learn the fine work. But I'll put a stop to it pretty quick. Thee'd be sorry to part why her, if it wasn't for her good, said Mr. Poyser. He's useful to thee the work.
Sorry?
Yes, I'm fonder on her nor she deserves a little hard-hearted hussy, wanting to leave us aye that way. I can't ha' had her about me these 7 year, I reckon, and done for her, and taught her everything without caring about her. And here I'm having linen spun, and thinking all the while it'll make sheeting and table clothing for her when she's married, and she'll live aye the parish why us, and never go out of our sights like a fool as I am for thinking aught about her, as is no better nor a cherry why a hard stone inside it.
Nay, thee mustna make much of a trifle, said Mr. Poyser, soothingly.
He's fond on us, I'll be bound. But she's young, and gets things in her head as she can't rightly give account on. Them young fillies all run away often why who, knowing why. Her uncle's answers, however, had another effect on Eddie besides that of disappointing her, and making her cry. She knew quite well whom he had in his mind in his allusions to marriage, and to a sober, solid husband. And when she was in her bedroom again, the possibility of her marrying Adam presented itself to her in a new light. In a mind where no strong sympathies are at work, where there is no supreme sense of right to which the agitated nature can cling and steady itself to quiet endurance, one of the first results of sorrow is a desperate vague clutching after any deed that will change the actual condition. Poor Eddie's vision of consequences, at no time more than a narrow fantastic calculation of her own probable pleasures and pains, was now quite shut out by reckless irritation under present suffering, and she was ready for one of those convulsive motiveless actions by which wretched men and women leap from a temporary sorrow into a lifelong misery. Why should she not marry Adam? She did not care what she did, so that it made some change in her life. She felt confident that he would still want to marry her, and any further thought about Adam's happiness in the matter had never yet visited her.
Strange. Perhaps you will say, this rush of impulse towards a course that might have seemed the most repugnant to her present state of mind, and in only the second night of her sadness.
Yes, the actions of a little trivial soul like Eddie's, struggling amidst the serious sad destinies of a human being, are strange. So are the motions of a little vessel without ballast tossed about on a stormy sea. How pretty it looked with its parti-colored sail in the sunlight, moored in the quiet bay. Let that man bear the loss who loosed it from its moorings. But that will not save the vessel, the pretty thing, that might have been a lasting joy. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.